Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I haven't quite worked out how to fade it out yet. Hello and welcome to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. I'm Jack, standing in for Jake, because like Leicester, we lack squad depth and real quality up front, so you've got me instead. But we're a week into the season and we've won three games out of three. We're second into the table. We're in the next round of the cup. It sounds really good and I'm a little unsure if we're going to have anything at all to say today, because we're very, very good at being negative. I'm joined by Rick and Jordan. Jake may turn up at some stage tonight and explain why he's not hosting and why he's thrown me under the bus as usual. I'm going to start with you, Rick. How are you? Where are you? And what have you been up to?
Hello, Jack. Hello, Jordan. I'm at home. I've only got back about 2 hours ago. I've been in the Cotswolds in the caravan again, living it up. Yeah, been bitten a lot. Got stung by an ant, right? I didn't think you got ants that do that in this country, so don't know what's going on there. Do you know whether there is an ant in this country that can do that? Or have I just...
A flying ant?
I don't know. It got me in the neck. It fucking hurt.
It's
really hurt.
It was flying ant day the other day, wasn't it? Which is...
Thursday,
always,
was it?
Always a real highlight in the calendar, the flying
ant. Well, it was Thursday when it happened, so if it was that...
I think it was a bit earlier than that. I haven't heard of ants biting people. When I was in Australia, they have horrible flies that bite you. They're minging. But yeah, I haven't heard of that. Must be a special Cotswold version.
It must be, mate. But yeah, nearly sport me weekend, but no, you know.
Good. Onto a man who also gets bitten a lot. Jordan, how are you, mate?
I do get bitten a lot. Latvia, I think I had about 25. I've just done my feet. But I'm very well, mate. Thank you very much. I've not been doing a huge amount other than working for once. Obviously been very busy in the footballing world recently with the return of the Prem and Kane and whatnot. But yeah, I'm very well, mate. And like you say, three wins out of three. So can't complain so far.
Yeah, very good.
But
yeah, we've got loads. We've got loads to complain about. Just I wanted to start on a positive. So we've got two games that we almost need to review because we didn't do Burton either on Tuesday, which wasn't really a lot to discuss because I don't think it was nothing really happened other than we won and we played all right. We had a lot of the ball, but I think that's worth discussing. But I'll start with the Huddersfield game. And I'll start with you, George. Thoughts on the game?
I thought we were pretty poor throughout, but we deserved to win. I mean, the two sides I've seen so far, if that's the standard, I don't think we're going to have any problems at all this season. I think they had one chance in the end of the first half and the lad got underneath it about 5-6 yards out, blazed it over the crossbar. But other than that, we were comfortable and we probably could have had 2 or 3 on another day, I suppose. Pratt missed an absolute sitter. It was a lovely move and a really nicely weighted pass from Ricardo, but it was straight down the middle of the pitch and he took out 2 or 3 players. I thought, Jesus, I mean, he was in his own half and the two centre-backs were so square. I thought the keeper, he was relatively untested, but he did okay. I don't think we can play this style of football with Vestergaard being the sort of quarterback at centre-back. There were times where he was just stood on the ball. And I appreciate that around him there wasn't a lot of movement, but there was no, he wasn't carrying it forward. He was just walking with it. Just get out of the club. Just get him gone. I'd rather see Doyle play there and bring Justin in at left back. Again, I thought Winks did okay and Ricardo did okay. I thought Mavididi and KDH were the only threats we had. And it's a bit of a worry. And we said it last year, I think, with Barnes. He was the, everything was going down the left. It was all so predictable. And I feel like that's going to be the same again. The weight on KDH to replace Madison and Mavididi to replace Barnes and score the majority of goals and create chances at the minute is too great. So I know we're going to come on to transfers. We can't go into the season with Casey McAteer, who's plays for Leicester. He's injured, obviously, because he plays for us. And is it Marcel Mavidua? That's confusing, isn't it, with Mavididi at the side. I don't think we could go into the season with two academy kids on the right-hand side and all Brighton as the looks like the third choice at the minute. And I'm sure you wanted me to come on to Iheanacho. I thought he was appalling again. I know people were clamouring for him to play after Burton, where he took his goal really well. I mean, I think I'd have probably scored from 6 yards out with nobody marking me on a sixpence. I just don't think he's going to be a number nine and a starting number nine at this club. He would have been better off playing where KDH was, behind an actual nine. He links the play really nicely, but he's not quick enough to get him behind. I'm not saying Vardy is anymore. He's too erratic. His decision-making is usually pretty poor, chooses the wrong decision. A lot of shots were wide or over. And I thought it was particularly poor. You may say I've got an agenda against him, but I just don't. I think we need another striker, is basically what I'm saying. Because Vardy came on, and I don't think he's the long term answer going forward, even in this division. So I know we'll come on to transfers, but I think we need a striker as well now, and definitely a 10 and a right winger. But that said, we kept a clean sheet, and that's all you've got to do. And I've back us to nick goals in this league. So I thought it was a pretty poor display, but as Rick described it, turgid. But we got through and got the clean sheet, got the goal. And then Burton was, that was just like a training exercise, wasn't it? I mean, they were absolutely appalling. But again, it was good just to get Justin in, get some minutes in his legs. I think we had 800 passes, which, you know, is one of them, a bit of a useless metric, I suppose. But it shows that we're still trying to implement the style that Maresca wants to play. Again, they didn't really have a chance, did they? So if we can keep controlling possession, then these teams are not going to get much of a sniff. And I think the first 7 days' work under the new manager, when it matters, with a team that is far from the finished article, obviously we're going to have 3 or 4 in and hopefully 3 or 4 out and in. I think all good, mate. You can't really complain too much.
Yeah, you can't really complain with 3 wins out of 3. I hadn't thought that we were going to discuss Iheanacho quite so soon, but I'm pleased you managed to get that in. I'd make a slight correction. You do have an agenda against Iheanacho.
I just don't think he's the answer, is basically it.
I think personally, I think time will tell. I think at championship level, he'll score lots of goals. I didn't think he was particularly brilliant yesterday. I didn't think he was particularly bad. I think the game was slow, but there were one or two promising signs for me in the game. So when Pratt went through, really good chance, messed it up, didn't he, really? But I thought the build-up play to that was exactly how we want to play. It was sort of those triangles, getting through the first press and then, you know, penetrating in behind, which was really pleasing to see. I thought Fez was outstanding. Looked like he was, and I'm not the biggest fan of Fez, but he just looked like it was easy for him. I mean, he sort of had to make one sliding tackle at one point, but looked very comfortable for him. Who else did I think was any good? I thought Mavididi, I mean, he got man of the match. I don't think he was man of the match. I think Fez was man of the match, but he took his goal reasonably well. He's got a trick on him. I think that in terms of confidence will do him the world of good. He's got an assist and a goal in his first two games, which is really pleasing. I thought the keeper actually did all right. I mean, it's obviously he's been preferred because he's decent with his feet, and that's exactly how Maresca wants to play, given that he's been thrown in. He's only played at sort of Scottish Division 1 level and League 2 or something, I think. So it's a huge step up for him. And I thought that was... He did well, particularly after Hermansson did so well for us last week. But I thought we did look quite comfortable. It's funny, I was on my stream that I was watching on, the commentator was saying it was a really high quality game, and I thought I must have been watching something else. It was not a high quality game, but maybe that's what they used to. And I don't want to sound too arrogant, but I thought second half there was only one side that was going to win it, really. They had a few set pieces, which we actually coped with much better this week, which was pleasing to see. So yeah, Rick, I'll try and get your thoughts on the game.
Yeah, I mean, you've both covered it pretty well. It was hardly a spectacle, was it? It was boring, I think, is about the long and short of it. But we were comfortable. I'm not too dissatisfied with what's going on at the minute. The squad's unbalanced, you know, until we get an attacking midfielder in, until we get a right winger in, until we possibly get a better option up front. I'm leaning towards what Jordan's saying with Iheanacho, even though I do rate Iheanacho, and I'll come on to that in a minute. But we do need squad changes, and it concerns me with less than 3 weeks to go that our director of football has got the best part of 10 ins and outs to do, and we just aren't going to do it. So I don't know what's going to happen in terms of where we're going to be at come 1st of September, but I suspect we'll be disappointed. But yeah... It's Mavididi looks good, and I think it's very difficult for players to come into this club and hit the ground running, and he has done. I think there's still loads more to come from him, but you know, one goal, one assist, and he just looks like at this level he'll be able to do it comfortably, and it's nice to know that we've got some of those players, as opposed to, you know, then on the other side we've got McAteer and Wanyamasa, who's probably not yet at the level that we need. Although I thought that Wanyamasa was okay, and I know I read a little bit that he was struggling, but I thought he got a lot of the ball. He just needed a bit more confidence. I think he looks stronger than McAteer does. He looks more natural down that side. McAteer to me looks like a number eight. He looks more like a central midfielder than a winger, but neither you would expect to be your starting right winger if you're wanting to go for promotion. I agree with Jord. Vestergaard, I don't really get why he's playing. Maybe the long-term plan pre-Cody coming back would be that Justin, if he was up to speed, would play that left side and Doyle would go next to Fass. I think that would be a decent partnership. Likewise, I could see Christiansen slotting in into that left centre-back, left-back role, but it's evident that he's likely to go. I read today that Bologna are after him, although any Serie A team, the deal will no doubt be a loan, and you know, as if they're doing us a massive favour. So, yeah, it was all right. Burton, the game, bit more enjoyable first half, where Iheanacho did play very well, and then did he look like Zidane. But yeah, what can we say? We all predicted that we were going to start the season slow, that the pre-season had been a farce, that the fact that the squad wasn't yet right, that we were going to really struggle. And I think, well, yes, we've toiled in games, but we've got three wins. And if that's us starting slowly, then bring it on, because we'll absolutely rip the Championship to pieces. That famous last words.
Famous last words indeed. I think you are right, though, because I was looking at it and going, trying to transport myself almost back to last Friday and going, I thought we'd be undercooked after pre-season. I think the players looked pretty fit. I think there was
late goals, aren't we?
Yeah, we're scoring late goals. I thought Huddersfield looked absolutely out on their feet at 70 minutes.
Again,
same with Coventry. There was one bit in the Burton game where Winks lost the ball. I can't remember how you described it, Rick. You said he left the left something on, and I can't remember.
I said it was like, you remember that you'd left the bathroom tap on upstairs. I mean, it was rapid, weren't it?
It was.
He got back. I loved it.
So despite the lack of pre-season, he's obviously got them fit. There is a very clear way that he wants them to play. Now, it's not always working, but actually when it does come off, it looks brilliant. So there's loads of encouraging sides there for me. And if you'd offered me the results we've had, I would have snapped your hand off. Now, there's loads of work to do. And I'm hearing collective energy that we need to talk about transfers. So it was really interesting for me yesterday looking at the bench. Two goalkeepers on there, which may have been because McAteer got a late knock, but it's always a strange one when a manager puts two goalkeepers on the bench. Only seems to happen around transfer windows as well.
Especially when both of them he wants to, they're free to go. It's not
only seems to happen about transfer windows for me. So that's interesting. In the last week, Suter's obviously going to leave. The manager's been pretty clear about that, which is a bit of an obscure one. The rumour sort of started last week. Christiansen, who was supposedly injured, is now being linked here, there and everywhere, wasn't on the bench yesterday. Castagna, who was on the bench against Burton, didn't come on against Burton and is then left out. Daka, I mean, he brought Katie McAteer on to play up front and then left him off the bench. Sumare is not featured at all. And we've learned that Cody, who is club captain, by the way, as I revealed at the BSLB live night, but we just don't want to say it because he's out for 7 weeks. So we've got to put up with Vestergaard. So, and also Cassidy, who is meant to have signed last Friday, but has not been announced yet. So God knows what's going on there. So it feels like there's, 2.5 weeks to go till the end of the window? As you said, Rick, it feels like there's a hell of a lot to do in that time.
Loads.
I presume they're going to be very busy at the Athletic, Jordan, over the next few weeks.
More than likely. Got a few exclusives from Ornstein. But yeah, I mean, I've just put in the chat on the side there, and I even forgot Vestergaard, who I just said get out of the club. But what's that there? 9-10 players that we've got to move on? Two goalkeepers that last year, I mean, if that's their advert for someone to take them last year, then we're going to be holding on to those two. Christiansen, who I thought probably at this level would be doing a lot of good for a year, looks like he's going to go. Whether he's not settled or his family's not settled or whatever reason it is, he's not going to go. We are overloaded with fullbacks because if Doyle's going to play there, I thought Doyle was a shoo-in for a centre-back.
We don't even play with fullbacks. We play with three centre-halves and a right-back who moonlights as a defensive midfielder.
Ricardo yesterday, I don't think I even seen him right back off the ball. I think he just is a centre midfielder now. But yeah, we're overloaded. Like, where's Thomas? He's not been seen.
He was on the bench. Bit. Was he on the bench yesterday?
I think he was on the bench. Yeah. I think he was.
Just randomly turned up.
And if you've got, you've got Justin and Castagna on the bench, I mean, Justin's obviously going to feature. Castagna is probably going to be moved on. But they are two, I would say, top half Premier League fullbacks, to be honest. Suter, again, I'm not sure what has gone wrong there. You'd have thought in the championship for a year, he'd be perfect. Even if he's third or fourth choice, he's a better option than Vestergaard, who we definitely need to move on. Samari hasn't been seen, as far as I'm aware. I've not even seen him on the photos on the social feeds or on the website or anything. I don't even know if he's even been training since Maresca arrived. I'd personally look to move Pratt out the door. I mean, for an international footballer, and I know we said Fez was good, which he was. Yesterday, he had that one chance which he should have scored. He was completely ineffective against a very poor Huddersfield side. And I'd move Dakar on now, to be honest, even though I did claim when I was pissed that he'd get 40 in this league because he's so quick. But he's not, obviously, not going to feature. So what's that? 9 or 10 players that we need to get out. And as Rick says, the squad's hideously unbalanced. That means we need arguably another centre-half. As I say, fullbacks, I think we're blessed with. Would definitely need a 10. I think Cassidy will get done. I know you two in the WhatsApp group are panicking about it, but I think it'll get done eventually. And we're crying out for a right winger and possibly another striker. And my thing is with Iheanacho is that he can play. And I'll tell you what, I'll defend Iheanacho a little bit. In the system we've played since he's been at the club, it's been majority one up front. And it was clear that Vardy was the number 9. In the 10, he's better deeper. He is better deeper. But Maddison was better than him. So he wasn't going to play there. And he did well in the 2 up front, and we've never played 2 up front. But I would keep Iheanacho because he is an option. And he is probably better as an impact player. But if we're going to play this system, I do think we need a different kind of striker, maybe a taller striker, who you can actually hit, because I'm not saying launch it, but there are a few times where Hermansson, a bit like Man City did against Burnley on Friday, they'll just miss everyone out and just bang it straight up to Haaland and play off him from there, which is very, I suppose it's a bit old school, but I'd go for someone like that. And I know they were interested in Pirro, and that seems to have quietened down. But, you know, if we're looking at 9 or 10 out, or at least half of those, and 5 in, it's at least 10 deals. And as Rick says about Serie A, they'll make it, these clubs with no money will make it like they're doing us a favour and take players on loan, like Everton are doing with Harrison, because they've got no money. And it's not doing us a favour. I mean, I was thinking earlier, you look at Southampton, who have got 40 million for Livramento, 30, 35 for Ward-Prowse, and they're going to sell Lavia for 60. And that, what's that, 130, 140 million? We've lost Tielemans, Barnes and Maddison for under 80 million. And those players that we're going to have to move on, and those three that we've lost, just show how badly this club has been mismanaged for the last 3 or 4 years. And it really isn't acceptable. And that's why we find ourselves in the situation we are now. But all that said, we're still 3 out of 3 at the start of the season, and there is more to come. So if we can shift these players out and get the players we actually want, then hopefully we'll start to kick on.
Right. I'm just going to pause there and explain to our listeners that they might be hearing 1 or 2 commercial breaks as we have now signed with Sports Social. So we're just going to go, we'll pause now for our first one.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then I'll now ask Rick for his thoughts on the transfer situation. I'm sure you don't really have an opinion on this, do you?
No, move on, mate. I'm all good with it. I think John Ruckin's done a really good job. I think everyone needs to get off his back. The man can only do one thing at a time. So what do we expect? No, it's been slow as, hasn't it? You know, we've sold three players for any money this transfer window: Madison Barnes and George Hurst. We've
glad
got
you included Hurstie.
Well, I nearly forgot, but you know, we did get, I think we got 1.5 million for him, which hopefully there's a sell on clause in there and the off chance that he does improve. But what I know it's not easy, and these players are on a hell of a lot of money. And again, that's a consequence of what, where we've declined, and as George says, mismanagement. But I still just don't think we're good enough at getting players out. I mean, okay, it's easy to sit here in a pink chair wearing a pink shirt saying that, but like what do we do to make it? I mean, Maresca's trying his hardest by just completely alienating some players, and maybe that's the way to go. Maybe that will finally force them out. But they've got to go. Castagna's got to go, because and even if they don't go, then they've got to integrate them back in, which, you know, that can sometimes just, the relationship's broken down. But yeah, I mean, the incomings, I am concerned about Casadoy because I just don't get why it isn't done yet. Chelsea haven't given him a squad number. You looked at their bench today and it was just like full of academy players that, you know, were less talented than Casadoy. So if he was seriously going to be considered, he would have been in there today. So he's obviously available. We've supposedly, he's had a medical. Why has it not been announced? I just don't get it. We're led to believe that it's been agreed, provisionally for weeks. So it's just frustrating. And we need a right winger. I mean, again, Rakitić or whatever you call him from Palace, he was on the bench yesterday. If we can't get him, we've got to go out and get somebody else. And I'd like Cameron Archer from Villa as well, as a versatile player to cover up front, left and right. He is available. He's probably going to cost 15 million. We're probably not going to spend 15 million without getting some players out, but just get them out. So yeah, I'm concerned because we're doing okay at the minute, and our quality in individual in certain areas is getting us through games. But then Huddersfield, a dog mess. Coventry played very well in patches, but you know, we managed to get over the line against them. We've had quite a nice start, and I think it is nice for the first half a dozen games. It won't always be like that. And if we get to past September the 1st and we haven't got in an attacking midfielder or a winger and other options, we are going to be in for quite an unpleasant season, I think. Not necessarily that we're not going to challenge top six, but I think it'll be hard work, harder than it needs to be. You know, that this squad is littered with quality, and we should be too good for it. But we've got to have that throughout the depth. It's got to be depth throughout every area, and we haven't got that at the minute.
Yeah, we haven't. And just as you were saying there, I was having flashbacks to January. I mean, I am a bit perplexed as to why Christiansen and Suter are two of the players that they want to get out. I would have thought they're players that you would want to stick around. Which is a strange one. But also, as you say, to get players in and spend, I can't see us spending any money now. My only thought as to why we're waiting so long is we're probably going to wait on a load of loans from Premier League clubs. And that's fine, because you're probably going to get some young, talented players, because we have got good experience in the side with Vardy, Albrighton, Cody, Winks, whoever else. So you're fine. But then if we do end up going up, and I'm maybe, well, getting ahead of myself, you then have to go and sign.
Yeah.
So it does become quite difficult. I mean, I would like us to sign one or two players. I mean, I'm fine with a few players on loan, but actually getting some players in that want to be about the place for a long time, because I think that's what we need to build towards. And the club's made a lot of short-term decisions over the past few years that haven't worked. So actually,
we need to add squad value, don't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Where's the squad value now? There's barely any. You know, Southampton are raising all that money because they've signed young players, young British players, or from, you know, from academies from Britain, and they're flipping them for huge money on Livramento and Lavia. But, you know, we could just be in a position where if we don't go up, where do you raise the funds to then have a go? Or if we go up, we've got so much business to do. I know it's not easy, and I'm sure there's reasons for it, but we've raised 80 million. We didn't spend all the Fofana money. I know we've gone down, but, you know, something done all add up there. Why not get rid of some of these players?
The one thing I'd say about Southampton, actually, I do give the club some credit for getting Maddison out and Barnes out the door relatively quickly, because you look at what Southampton have done. Yeah, they've got a load of money for them, but they started the season. Livramento goes, I think, on the Friday of the first game. Ward-Prowse, he's not even gone yet. Lavia, they've still got big transfer speculation, whereas at least our transfer speculation, you've got a load of Muppets that aren't really... Well, they're not Muppets, they're decent players, but they're not really going to play, are they? So I would say that's one thing.
But I thought by getting rid of Barnes and Maddison so early, it would have given us the freedom and flexibility to be able to get rid of the others without, like, desperately needing to maximise every penny for them. You know, take a few million less if it got the deal over the line. I know that's probably
We're really bad. I think you and I have had this discussion before, that we're very good at selling one or two players for large sums of money. But you go outside of that, we basically haven't given up. We give them away, or we hold on to them.
Yeah. Well, I looked, didn't I? I was ranting the other week. I looked at the players that we've actually got a transfer fee for in the last 4 or 5 years. And if you exclude the ones that have gone for stupid money that we wanted to keep, fringe players or players we were happy to move on, we sold like 3 or 4 in 5 years. And like, the likes of West Ham and Everton have sold like 15. So, you know, okay, they will have made losses on certain players, but we're not prepared to make a loss. So we keep asking for the money that we pay for them, but then let them go for free anyway. And they've run the contracts down. The sort of input diminishes because they don't want to be here. It's just madness. I don't know. Just get them gone.
Sounds like there's a lot to do. It's a busy couple of weeks. I've got two more things I want to speak. It's very serious again. We've gone very serious. I don't really know why. Yeah, Rick, bollock that, and then we can get you going. Two things I wanted to talk about. One was about Maresca, just in general, because we've seen a lot of his football now. He's a week in. He's done lots of interviews. He sounds very grumpy, just generally for me, which I really enjoy, because he speaks with utter disdain about most things. I don't know whether that's the sort of character he was, but I wanted to get your thoughts on, I'll start with you, Jordan, just on Maresca, what you've seen.
I like him. He's still bold. He's learned from the best, obviously. But I like him. It's interesting. Fosway did an article on Maresca ball. And I actually said I didn't think it was too different from what Brendan did when he first came. Very similar style of possession football. Admittedly, obviously, by the end Brendan left, it was a bit of a mess. But other than the inverted fullback, which seems to be all the rage. I mean, I watched Liverpool earlier and Trent was trying it, and I don't know, it's just an odd one for me. But he seems a bit miserable, and obviously it's his kind of first job. Well, certainly his first managerial job in England. I know he was at Parma, didn't fare too well. It kind of seems to me like he's got the job and he's realised he's inherited a bit of a mess behind the scenes, which again is what Brendan was kind of alluding to. And then Smith came in and couldn't turn it around, and it all seems to stem from what's going on behind the scenes. And as Rick said, the interesting thing about freezing these players out, yeah, that's all good and well, but what if you can't shift them? And then you're going to have to do a bit of a U-turn and integrate the players with the squad that's doing so well so far. So the next 2 weeks are big. I mean, the next game, Cardiff, I don't think they've won yet. And again, as Rick said, quite an easy start, if you like, Rotherham and then Tranmere. I mean, Hull had a good result yesterday, but then we start going to like Norwich and Southampton, who you would have thought will be a similar level at least. And if we haven't got the players in and out that Enzo wants, it might start being difficult. I don't think we'll learn a huge amount until we get beat, to be honest, about the character in the squad. But Yeah, I mean, I like everything Maresca's doing, to be honest. And the good thing is, I mean, I saw yesterday he said about the fans, he said it's important to share that winner with the fans. And, you know, he knows after last season the huge rebuild he's got to do, and the trust from the fans is huge. And, yeah, there is a bit of a feel-good factor around at the minute. There seems to be anyway. And certainly myself, I'm still pissed off about last season, and I still expect us to romp this league. But having seen some of the new lads come in, and it feels like they want to be here, it does. I mean, and I know it's football cyclical, and we might end up not going up, and I'll end up not liking the players. But at the minute, you know, Winks has come in, and I really like him. Mavadidi looks a great signing to me. And I think Enzo's, with what he's got, has done a pretty good job. And the other thing is, you know, I mentioned earlier about the 800 passes against Burton. I mean, it was a training exercise, but they are implementing and sticking with this idea. And I think yesterday, Jack, you might have had the same commentator as me, who he was a bit odd. He said the standard was good, which it wasn't. He was treating Leicester like we were Barcelona. I was thinking, mate, you didn't see us last season. That's why we're in this mess. And then he kept going, oh, they're overplaying at the back again. They're overplaying. And then about three passes later, we're one-on-one with their keeper. I was thinking, don't worry about us, mate. You just look after yourselves. Do you know what I mean? We were overplaying, but I like that we're sticking to it. And if we get in a bit of a mess, fine. That's the way we're going to play. And he's getting his ideas across. So I really like him at the minute. Hopefully he keeps this sort of... I don't know whether it's like a us against the world type thing. You know, like Pearson used to do, but that it seems a little bit like that to me, because he is moaning an awful lot. And I'd love to see him on the training ground with what he's like with the players, but that's what it seems to me. And I mean, it takes a very strong man to say to, you know, he likes a Castagna, who I'm obviously a big fan of Castagna. You ain't playing, mate. You don't want to be here. Forget it. You ain't getting the game. Get yourself out the door. Just a shame that he's not doing that with Yannick. But it is what it is. So I'm really liking him at the minute, and long may it continue.
Do you know who he reminds me of?
An egg.
Not an egg. Hold on one second, I'll tell you. This is seamless.
That's a lot of bollocks! You've got to fucking die to get 3 points!
Sorry about that. Rick. Your thoughts on
Maresca? I love that. Yeah, I'm impressed. I also have had some Nigel Pearson vibes from Pearson's first stint with us. You know, relegation, everyone being sort of like at the lowest ebb with where on earth the club's going, and just the way he's managed to get that authority in. And he is miserable with the press. I've got a bit of a concern about the way that he does seem to speak, though. It's all well and good in being like that when we're winning. I do worry if he's always like that, and he, you know, he's not very forthcoming with what he says. I think our fan base will get annoyed by that. You know, we do like to hear meaningful insight from our manager, and that obviously has to come channeled through the press. So if the press asks questions, you know, it's not just him reacting to the press because he thinks they're arseholes. The answers are being listened to by our fans. We want to hear what he's got to say. And okay, you know, I know he's Italian, I know English isn't his first language, and a bit like Ranieri, some of the shit, you just like, I don't really know what that means, but I think it sounds all right. And that's fine when you're winning, but, you know, for all Rodgers' faults, a lot of what he did say for a long time, you could at least, you know, you understood what he was trying to say, even if you, by the end of it, you disagreed with it. I just hope that he gets that happy medium with sort of press conferences and stuff, because otherwise, you know, if we do get under pressure, he's not going to do himself any favours there. But I like the football. Some of it's boring, but it's always going to be like that with possession football. Counter-attack is boring if you can't counter-attack, or, you know, it breaks down. So I'm actually so impressed with how well he's managed to implement it in such a short space of time. I thought pre-season seemed to be a bit of a farce, but evidently he still managed to get a lot of work done. Some of the passing and movement has been incredible. That one that opened up for Pratt yesterday was mind-blowing, and it looked so simple. But, you know, it just carved Huddersfield open. There was another one as well where we sort of drew Huddersfield's press on and then, you know, just toyed with them in a game, ripped through about a 60-yard pass to open up the pitch. So happy days. I thought it was going to be a slow burner. I thought we might lose one of the first two in a league and be under pressure from the off, and that hasn't happened yet. So, yeah, I think he's built quite a good platform. Just needs to be supported in the transfer window. He's got, you know, he's making those decisions where he's, you know, he's not going to play the players that want to leave, bar Vestergaard, who's openly said he wants to go, but he's weirdly playing him. So I just hope that that works out okay for us, because as George says, if not, he's got to bring back in the likes of Castagna, the likes of Samare, Daka, and they're players that should be able to, you know, do it in the Championship, playing in a dressing gown and slippers, but that, you know, mentally they might not want to do it. So yeah, let's hope that doesn't backfire and get me a bloody right winger in.
It's interesting what you say about the press, because I thought it was interesting that he did his sort of cozy fireside chat with Guillaume Balaguer, who now lives in Leicester, which is strange.
Yeah,
of all the places in all of the world, he's decided to live in Croft. Yeah. Yeah. He's moved to Croft. So he's been to loads of games. If I was a journo that had covered Leicester City for the last 10, 15 years, that would annoy me intensely. Balaguer gets given that opportunity, but it's clearly...
Pearson used to do it with Henry Winter, though. Henry Winter, for a long while, seemed to be Pearson's, like, trusted...
finest.
Yeah, to do, like, a proper in-depth interview with him. I don't mind that within reason, as long as you do have that platform and do it, not regular all the while, but at least the fans are going to... We need to be able to, you know, get some insight, because it does feel like he's got a disdain... for being asked questions that people want to know the answer.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. I may have to stick another advert in here. But then, before we do that, we're going to do an on-air production meeting. Do you want to discuss injuries, or do you want to play Who Are You?
Injuries.
Right. We'll do a break and then we'll discuss injuries. Right, Rick, what do you need to get off your chest on injuries?
The Championship's a relentless slog, isn't it? And we already look like we are made of weak stuff. Like last season, where we blame Rodgers and his weird doctors that he brought in that then left quite quickly after. I think it's deeper than that. Whether it's Seagrave itself, which seems like a bloody death trap, I don't know. But, you know, we've already had, in pre-season, Vardy was out for a while. Christiansen was out, Fast didn't play for a bit. Now that's okay, they've all come back and started the season. But Hermansson's out, he's back next week. McAteer, we're told, has got a slight knock, I think we were told that, or we've got to assume that because he wasn't even in the squad. Cody's obviously out for 10 weeks. It worries me because we know that injuries has curtailed our success the 2 years that we finished fifth. And it's just continued and got worse and worse. And, you know, and again, if we don't get the players in that we want, then this squad's going to be even more stretched. Mavadidi's going to be the only, you know, attacking threat from out wide. And, well, Dewsbury all becomes literally our most indispensable player with Winks in the midfield. So, yeah, I'm worried that there's no quick fix. And Maresca hasn't managed to come in and bring a load of fitness gurus with him that can fix it. But yeah, there needs to be an inquiry down there, because the place, it's not safe. I'd go down in my IVs and I'd say, no, I ain't having this. You're playing with blokes' livelihoods here. You know, it's like having to navigate a minefield in the Falklands. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Something ain't right.
Speaking of something ain't right, evening, Jake.
It's not very nice. Can you hear me okay, lads?
We can hear you. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Apologies for the late arrival and probably a little brief appearance, but I'm here.
Where are you? You're in Great Yarmouth?
No, I've been in Great Yarmouth. If anyone knows the Norfolk Broads particularly well, I'm currently in a lodge with my entire family, and we're talking partners of brothers and children. So there's about 15 of us at this big old lodge in a place called Hickling, which is very beautiful. But yeah, I've just got here. But I've been in Great Yarmouth, I've been in Dereham, I've been doing a full-on tour of Norfolk over the last couple of days, seeing friends and family.
Very good. Well, you've missed quite a lot, actually. You've missed George moaning about Iheanacho, Rick moaning about injuries and everything else. Yeah. He said he's not got an agenda against him. But,
I did defend him, though. I did defend him at the same time.
You did defend him. How did you defend him?
I said that I did. Since he's arrived, we've never played a system that really suited him.
Okay.
Because we always play one up front, and he's not good enough to play in that role.
Right.
As you were saying that, I was imagining, because people are going to have listened to that about 40 minutes ago, and I was like, if he's going to say something that he didn't actually say, he did say that.
Genuinely, I was thinking, George, yesterday, because you do live rent-free in my head. your agenda against King Kel. And I've come to the conclusion that if you had a missus, right, we like these, and she cheated on you with every single first team player at Leicester, the only one you'd be pissed off about is Iheanacho. Straight away, you'd be like, you fucking shagged Iheanacho. Everyone else, like, you know, be fine. But that's the first one you'd go for. I'm absolutely certain of it.
Of all the people.
Yeah, of all the people, him. Why him? He's not even
poor
good.
Sweeney,
don't worry about everyone else, but you'd go straight to him, I'm sure of it.
I'm going to stick up for George here, because it does annoy me, his agenda against Iheanacho. But what he said at the start, he's right. Iheanacho playing up front on his own, it doesn't work week in, week out, does it? I know he hasn't had week in, week out. We argued back in February he needed a run of games, and then he got them and he did quite well. But like, he'll come on in games at number nine and he'll change the game and you think, brilliant, start him next week, starts next week, might have a good game. The next week, doesn't it? Oh no, in the sort of 10 role, he's not a 10. He's a, you know, he's a support striker. He's not a 10 like Maddison, like he's an attacking midfielder. He's a striker that can play a bit deep. In that role, he is unbelievable. At this level, he would be as well. First touch is still unbelievable, just ridiculous, but in a bad way. But he would be a danger at this level. But we're not going to play that way. Maresca's, he won't put two strikers on the pitch at once, I wouldn't have thought. He's shown, even against Burton, he'd rather play with no striker than bring Dakar on. So I agree. I mean, Iheanacho, he should score a shitload of goals at this level. But unless the supply is right, whether that's at least having an attacking midfielder to bomb on, a right winger on there, and he can drop deep and sort of knit it together a bit. Or he needs to play behind an aggressive striker.
But Rick, that's what we said when we had this argument back in February. That, you know, the fact is that we had then Maddison close to him, and then Tete and Barnes who'd run beyond him. The system actually worked. You know, and obviously without, you know, going over the same argument we've gone over a million times before. Right now, we literally haven't got an attacking midfielder, and we've got one winger. So it's not, you know, it's never really been suited to him, and even more so at the moment. But anyway, I'm sure you want to talk about other things than Iheanacho, because we can do this in the WhatsApp group chat for the next 5 years. Jack, you're on mute, pal.
Oh, fuck it. That's brilliant, isn't it? I was going to ask you about the game, but I know you haven't seen it. So.
So don't ask me about the game. I've seen the goal. That was it. So I was working another game yesterday. So that is my analysis on the game. I saw the goal. It was shit goalkeeping. But isn't it nice to win three games in a row?
Exactly.
That's literally it, I'm afraid. I know it's really bad, because usually by this point, even if I've not been able to go to the game, I would have seen extended highlights at the very minimum. But I've actually seen absolutely nothing.
Right. In that case,
yeah,
should we play Who Are You? I'm actually annoyed you've turned up because I was Rick's on Who Are You, and then I was like, it's me against Jordan. So that's an absolute banker. But Rick's on Who Are You, and you're here now, so we can play.
George?
Yes, mate.
It's Alan Fettis.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you? You. No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Have we done Dear Ric Flair as well, or have I missed that?
No, it's coming up.
Oh, I think I'm going to have to miss that.
I've got a bone to pick, not with anyone in particular, actually, more with myself, so I'm so bad at this game. But I've been getting a lot of stick for last week, which deservedly so.
Particularly, I think that is the worst guest we've ever had.
Kenny Sampson.
A bloke that didn't play for England that much and also didn't even play for Leicester. I know
what he's going to say as well, but go on, George.
I knew he never played for Leicester, but my point is, As four put ourselves out there with the guesses on the pod, you know, you can all guess at home when no one's listening to you and get a wrong guess and then dish it out. Yeah. It's a different pressure on the pod.
Can you do it on a pod on a Tuesday night in Stoke? Yeah.
Isn't it, Jack?
I've just checked. What? Kenny Sampson played 86 games for England.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Egg on my face.
You know, there's some.
He's had a bit of bother, isn't he, Kenny?
Guesses.
Yes, he has had a bit of bother, Kenny. Let's not go into that.
Just a bit of admin, lads.
Go on.
So I'm on my phone, and I need to flip between tabs to look at Wikipedia. Is that going to oof me off this, do you know?
No, so we just won't see your face whilst you're doing it.
Okay. What, so
who is it?
Click on me
who
tab,
is it? I can get it up for you if you want.
Yeah,
Alan Fettis.
We can still hear you, but we won't see your face. So
okay. All right, I'm going to try now.
Alan Fettis pay for us.
We had it. Well, I nearly did pick Alan earlier. We had him
on loan.
On loan,
didn't he?
Yeah, don't know whether we ever
never played a game in 1999.
No. Right. Hang on, then. I'm going to do a dry run. Let me know if I'm. Well, actually, no. You can't let me know if I go. Hold up. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Right. Okay.
Your face isn't moving though.
It's great.
He was born on the 9th of September 1971.
Oh, bloody hell.
52.
It's 52, you're right, yeah. 52. Okay. Hang on. And then, Darcy's turned up. What's up? I'm playing. I don't know who are you.
I don't want Bing on.
You don't want Bing on anymore. Let me just do Who Are You and I'll come in, okay? I'll be in 5 minutes. Lads, give me a second. Right, come on. I'll carry on whilst... okay, next clue.
This is the first clue. We've had two, yeah, sorry. One.
No, the first clue was his age, which is not really a clue, is it? So the next clue is he started his career at Heybridge Swifts. Between the years of 1989 and 1991.
Matt Elliott.
No.
I like this already, though.
And then I'll give you another little half a clue. He was then signed from Heybridge Swifts by Southend United.
Right. Okay.
Where he played 149 games.
Oh, Richard Creswell.
No.
Stan Collymore.
No.
Oh, they're two good guesses, though.
They are good guesses.
Better than last week, that, George. Did actually play for last.
Do you want Octonauts on, pal? And no, I can't do Paw Patrol. Peter Rabbit. We've landed on Peter Rabbit with Sam. Right, next clue. Leicester signed him in the 2000-2001 season, where he stayed until 2003, making 19 appearances.
Okay. That was...
Are you sure it's not Stan Collymore?
No, he didn't actually play 19 games for us.
So is that the year similar era?
Junior Lewis?
No.
Lee Marshall?
No.
Oh, that I thought you got that then.
Is this the year we went down?
It was the and year then... we went down.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, no, we signed him the year... It was the first year under Taylor, and we went down the year after.
Oh, okay.
He went on loan to Brighton and Hove Albion,
Paul Brooker?
We've had Brooker, haven't we?
Yeah. Not Brooker. Queen's Park Rangers. So he went on loan four times.
What, from Leicester?
From us.
Yeah. He went Brighton, then Man City, then QPR, then QPR again.
Dickov? No.
And luckily, QPR said you could keep him.
And then, no. The funny thing is, QPR didn't then have him. He then went back to Charlton.
Rufus Brevitt.
Oh.
No, you're a few years too late. Yeah. Brevitt
I feel like we should have this.
Yeah, we didn't sign that many players under Taylor. Simon Royce.
Yes.
Oh, that's it.
He's done it. I knew he'd do it.
Very good.
I always thought Simon Royce had a very red face.
Yeah.
That's why I chose it.
That's my memory of Simon Royce not being very good and having a very red face.
I feel like Rick likes the goalkeepers.
Always pick keepers, don't they, George?
They're the most obscure, though, because they play the fewest times, don't they? So
His middle name is Ernest, which I thought was decent. Yeah. Strong, like, isn't it? Simon Ernest Royce.
Yeah, very good.
Nice. Right.
Good work, Jack.
Thanks very much. It's now time for Dear Ric Flair, and which we've had about seven entries because we've got two carried over from last week, which I missed. So this might go on for a very, very long time. I'll play the lovely intro music. Help, I need somebody help,
not just anybody help. You know I need someone. Ric Flair.
Yeah,
right.
Some of my finer work. That a couple of people messaged to say how much they enjoyed that. So even if you think it's shit, it's staying.
Including the Beatles.
Yes.
You've done us a copyright. Yeah, Rick, we've got loads, and you've not seen this week, so we've not given you the heads up.
No. For them.
But I'm going to start with Joe. Now, Joe is a long time fan of the pod. Lives in the US. He sent us. Called you Bean, actually, rather than Rick, which is the first time I think you've been called Bean in a Ric Flair feature. Said, ask Bean how to explain to my wife that I cannot miss games and our marriage depends on me dialed in to every match. I simply cannot be present in activities she plans when the team plays.
Is that from me?
No, that's from Joe or Raoul as his Twitter.
Okay. What, I've got to tell his wife that's acceptable?
Basically.
So, yeah.
I mean, it is acceptable. I mean, I presume that this would have been in the T's and C's when they got together. Yep. It's non-negotiable. It's the same. I have this with my wife where she has the audacity to say, just put it on pause or record it and then watch it later. No, I'd rather be angry that I've not watched it and I know the result. I cannot watch something on catch-up that's Leicester City-based.
Nah.
So, I don't think there's a lot to say. Just tell her it is what it is. And if not, run off with the milkman.
Been an interesting turn of events. Right, okay. Moving swiftly on. This one's from Che Hagger. What a name. Who do I get on my shirt? Sumare?
What is it?
I presume it's a Leicester shirt. Just
right, he's Leicester shirt. I could Keith Vaz. Just get Keith Vaz on it, or I mean, personally, I wouldn't have a player. No, Lord Scaldymort. Just with a picture of kind of a skull on the back as well.
What if it was Keith? No, actually, I can't. No, I'm not going to ask what number. never mind. Moving on. Moving on. Right. Have you seen? So I swear the only time people watch sort of people vlogging at games is when your team's won. You just want to laugh at the opposition, right? So after the Coventry game, there was a lad going, "It's not fair. It's just not fair."
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was there's another one which you might not have seen. It's at Leicester School, and this guy in a very thick Yorkshire accent just goes, "You've got to be kidding me." So I can't. I haven't noted down who asked this one, but after "It's just not fair" and "You've got to be kidding me," what complaint are we going to get next?
I wonder if we're due any free. Are we going to be given anything free at the maybe at the Cardiff game? Maybe we'll get complained about that. I tell you what, they should complain about the fact our director of football wears training wear. Why is Jordan Rudkin wearing a tracksuit? That's probably why he ain't getting any ins and outs done. He's too busy getting nutmeg down Seagrove. In fact, why ain't he getting injured? It's funny, isn't it, how the coaches and that never get injured, but then all the players are bloody in bloody plaster.
Maybe that's it. The coaches are flying into tackles down Seagrove.
I bet Rudkin's two-footed a few of them, hasn't he? I don't know. I'll be asking that.
Right, lads, I'm going to jump off and get back to this very fun family weekend I've got. Enjoy,
Jake.
I'll try and watch the football next week and actually contribute something.
Thanks, mate.
See you later.
I don't think you actually answered that question, but we'll just go with it anyway. Last one. I'm not sure how you're going to answer this one. Was Danny Ward selected as second goalkeeper on the bench just so we could one day ask the trivia question, in which EFL game were two players with exactly the same name selected in the match day squads of the opposing teams?
Yes. Yeah, Maresca's big into sort of trivia and stuff.
Do you know what? He
plays Boulder Dash a lot.
That did worry me yesterday when Danny Ward was playing up front for them, because he knew he was going to score.
It took me 10 minutes to realise what was going on, because I thought, why does the commentator keep banging on about Danny bloody Ward? He's on the bench. And then I realised that their striker was called Danny Ward, which sums up my knowledge of this level of football. quickly, Jack, it might be one for the strange things you've seen on the internet. Did you see the commentary fan who called us bastards and said, well, their home dugout is twice the size of the away dugout?
Did you see that?
Oh, cheating bastards. Yeah, cheating I did see bastard. That.
What do you mean?
The amount of...
Has that got a bearing on the result, is it?
I don't know, but the amount of reaction... Well, I mean, one bloke said to me it could have been a cricket score. Yeah, it could have been 579 for four last week, apparently.
That rattled you, didn't it?
Oh, it was just a fucking ridiculous thing to say. It couldn't have been a cricket score. We had equal shots. Our XG was about the same. We had way more possession and we got better players. So we won. Anyway, right. Speaking of rattles, go on.
That's my best. It just reminds me. I saw a tweet yesterday and my best mate's a Cov fan and he tweeted me a picture of him hugging Sam the Elephant, which I thought was quite funny.
Very good.
It would have been funnier if he got Sam the Elephant to tell me to fuck off. But
I'll superimpose your head on his, so we've got. Right, this one's a cracker, and this one was actually sent to me for like an old feature that I think I did once, which was strange things on the internet. But I want to get your reaction on it anyway. So after the Burton game, Will Batchelor on Leicester Fan TV chat sent a message in and it said, I went to the game last night, felt very much like a training exercise, but we did really well. What I couldn't understand was our fan chants. Are we really still singing about Cambiasso, Vasilevsky and even Ajoa? I was at the game with a Forest fan and it was embarrassing. No new songs and only talking about Forest. My mate said he'd heard more anti-Forest chants in that 90 minutes against Burton than he'd heard anti-Leicester in his last 40 years of living. I'm not calling anyone out specifically, but it just feels sad when we are singing about players who left in capitals 8 years ago. I must say, I did like that we've got the ball one. That was good fun. Thoughts, Rick?
Really? I mean, I don't think I've ever been a game and been upset about the songs. Okay, no, I mean, maybe if they were like a bit naughty, a bit derogatory, but I mean, what? So Vasilevsky, Joa, and singing about Forrest? I mean, what's wrong with singing about Forrest?
Can I pick up a wider point? Why is he bringing his mate to a game who's a Forrest fan?
I think that's the...
Why does his mate want to go?
And his mate's really upset that there's been some songs about it. I mean, don't go the game then, mate. Go your own, you twat. Oi, Will Batchelor, if you're listening, why have you taken your mate to a Burton-Leicester game? Why?
I've got a few mates who are Forest fans, and if they said, do you want to come and watch Forest? No. I'm staring at the wall that day. Absolutely not. What I don't get is, if you listen, and I don't like to bring them up at any time in my life, but if you listen to Man United sing, they just sing about all their old players all the time, and it's brilliant. And what's wrong with singing about your old players? I don't get it. And also, when he says, I've heard more anti-Forest songs than anti-Leicester at Forest in the last 40 years. Not true, because when you got promoted, you were singing about us. Every club does it. And also, can we knock on the head? We're the left side, we're the right side. Gash, absolutely gash. It's pathetic. And we've got the ball. No, get rid of it. Sing, we've won it all. Just sing, we've won it all. And just try and piss people off. Because we're shit.
Or
now.
We have one got a good song. So to the tune of 12 Days of Christmas, 12 Ian Ormondroids. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me one Ormondroid. Do that, and you get thrown out of a pub. I did in the Prince of Wales in Hinckley.
I got thrown out of Wellington in Birmingham for singing Ewan is a Welshman.
They are. It must be because they're past players. If that had been Iheanacho or Samare, we would have been all right.
So question maybe for our listeners. Have you ever been thrown out of a pub for singing a song about Leicester City? If you have, get your answers in.
There's got to be a few of them.
Tweet us at BSLB podcast. Let us know.
And also, I don't want to sing about the current players because I don't like any of them.
Well, and also our fans can't pronounce half of their names. So, I mean, Mavididi, I'm sorry, but you're not getting a chant, are you?
No.
Not one that's going to travel.
Well, you could go, I think you go, Mavididi, Steffi Mavididi.
Yeah, you could do that.
Someone did, actually, that reminds me, I promised someone had sent me, for the next pod, I'll find out what the song was, but someone has written quite a good song for Mavididi.
He's retweeted one. Someone's done him a song and he's retweeted it.
He
loves it. He's all over his Twitter account.
His football song's going to be a cult hero, aren't they?
I'm going to get him to send you a personalised birthday message, Rick.
Yes, please.
Can you write, if he scores again, can you write him a poem and then we'll just send it to him and we'll put it on Twitter and he'll definitely respond to that.
Yeah, he's a good lad.
I can't remember the song now. Straight Back Up that they were singing yesterday. Yes. Fan of that?
Oh, that.
Yeah. Arrogance.
Decent. And Maresca sort of came over, didn't he? I saw Lee posted on Insta quite a long video of him singing it at the end. And Maresca sort of waltzed over towards the end and had a little clap. And then he turned to go. And then he realised that they were... Yeah, a little clap. He didn't go unnoticed. and then... He turned back round when they were singing it, and I think he then realised that they were singing about him, which I think he enjoyed. So, yeah, word.
Right, very good. Well, that concludes, dear Rick Flowers. Good one this week. We've had plenty in, so that's always good. Which brings us on to any other business.
I've got a few.
But go on, George.
I particularly enjoyed Newcastle dismantling Champions League chasing Aston Villa yesterday. But I'm sure Champions League chasing Aston Villa will get their Champions League campaign back on track next week. what fucking planet are they on? Going on about challenging for the Champions League. I mean, Newcastle, they're in it, obviously. They're not going to be in it this year. They absolutely battered them. And their defending looked absolutely awful, and I loved it. I absolutely loved a bit of a reality check for the Villa.
There's like a really circular existence as an Aston Villa fan. What happens is you lose a few games, you start moaning like hell about stuff, then you sack the manager, then your board spends 150 million, then you get a new manager in, and then you start talking up as if you're going to win the European Cup again, and then you lose a few games, then you sack the manager, then you spend 100. It just happens over and over again.
It's actually great looking up at the league again. Now we're shit.
And well, I was going to. This was my any other business, right? So, because I wrote something in the Foss Way last week, and it wasn't to plug that, nor the Foss Way is to plug that. But basically, the summary of what I said was: being in the Championship is far more fun because you don't have people like Gabby Agbonlahor not having a clue about your club, telling you what they are. You don't go on Twitter and there's like, oh, I mean, actually, we've been roasted more since we've been down in the Championship. But at least the fans that you're being roasted by actually are generally match-going fans, know what they're talking about. And it's just a lot less relentless. You don't get Fabrizio Romano'd every 5 minutes. I'm just enjoying it a lot more. It's a lot more peaceful.
No VAR's the best.
No VAR.
You know, the goal goes in and unless the flag's gone straight up, you know, it's a goal. You ain't got to worry. And that, to me, I don't think I realised quite how much I'd stopped enjoying football since the last week, because I reckon I stopped celebrating goals. I just
you thought, don't celebrate until you go internal, back to the halfway line. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's gone.
If you watch the Chelsea-Liverpool game earlier, Salah and Chilwell's goals, they're clearly offside. You just look at it once. Why can't the lino just look along the line and stick his flag up? It's just laziness. That's all it is. And, you know, they want the drama for the TV, but it's great, honestly. Like, I know we've won three games and it is a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy because we want to be back there next year, but it's great. It's like being kicked out of the party and peering through the window and slagging everyone off that's in the party still. It's brilliant from the outside looking in. And all these clubs that are trying to do what we've done. And you look at the big six and seven. I mean, how can Chelsea spend all that money, by the way? I didn't know who half the players were today.
They still look dreadful, don't they? They looked all right today, but you look at their squad and you don't go like, wow.
It's mental, looking at that league. And then I'll tell you what else I wanted to bring up. Luton Town's defending for the Brighton third goal. What are you trying to do, mate?
I was trying to chip over his head. Because all three sides that come, and like famous last words, it's the first, they all look dreadful. And actually, last year, didn't all three that went up last year stayed up? And actually, like Fulham looked decent, Bournemouth gave it a good go, Forest. But this year, they all look dreadful. Yeah, I mean, that was some of the worst defending I've ever seen by Luton.
I just can't understand what he chests it down, facing his own goal. Why are you trying to chip it over your own head in your own box? I just don't get it. Just watching
the beauty of it.
That's the beauty of it. They're straight back down. But so yeah, it was weird to see the Prem back and us not being in it, and I still watched Match of the Day and whatnot.
I watched Match of the Day, whereas I never watch Match of the Day when we're in it because we lose. So yeah. But I just the irony of us then commenting about the Premier League and being those prats that comment about the Premier League is not lost upon me. Rick, any other business from you?
Only thing was my brother texts me, which made me laugh. He said, "Here, can you have a word with the lads on the pod this week?" And he's watched the video on social media yesterday of our players getting off the team bus. And I love this because this is how petty he is. He says they got off the bus in the wrong they had the wrong demeanour. Whoop fast got off and he looked like he didn't care, apparently. So, I mean, it's now got to the point where we're now complaining about how they get off the bus, which I thought was quite good. And it makes me think I've got to be up early tomorrow, go down to London with work. So I'm going to make sure I apply myself appropriately as I step off the train at Euston, because, you know, it sets a bad example, doesn't it? But yeah, that's all I've got.
I'm going to buy you a Leicester City tracksuit top and a pair of Leicester City over-the-ear headphones. And I just want you to, like, get off the train, bag in hand, with the level of purpose that you're going to go and play for Leicester City as you walk into work.
And that's what my brother wants to see. So, all right, yeah we'll do it. That's how I'm going to conduct myself.
Yeah.
Important.
I have to mention this before we leave, but when I worked at Sky, we had a revolving door at the front, a glass door, and Dave Jones walked in with a wash bag under his left arm and headphones around his neck, like he was a League Two footballer. And I just, any time I see Dave on the TV, lovely bloke, but any time I see him on the TV, I just think of that. It just was bizarre. he's in a full suit, and he's walking in like a, he's got his wash bag.
I'm going to walk into the King Power dressed like that next Saturday.
I mean, I'll probably be dressed like Maresca.
Yeah,
too, so I can't.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But no, but he will bring your wash bag with you, and
you never know.
You never know, George. You never know.
You never got to be prepared.
Yeah, especially
with exactly. RBS. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, mate. Exactly. You always take a bog roll with you. Always do. Always have a bog roll with me.
Speaking of bog roll, and this is my final one, Rick. I think it was this week. Tete is signed for Galatasaray.
Mm.
Bang average or just misunderstood?
Misunderstood. Disappointed with the club he's gone to, because I think everyone would dismiss anything that he now does. But yeah. Right player, wrong time. Hey,
same with Zaha.
Yeah, I mean, Galatasaray are putting together quite a decent team, squad, whatever. But and they won't do a lot in the Champions League, so he'll be dismissed. It's a shame. I would have liked him to stay in the Premier League and proved me right rather than wrong. But I'll take it on the chin. People still shouting it at me, obscenities, whatever.
I agree, Rick. I quite like him. And I set myself up there for a bit of trivia about Galatasaray, but that's not actually how you say it.
Right.
Galatasaray. Galata is the place. And interestingly for Zaha, Saray is Turkish for palace. So he's gone from palace to palace. Galatasaray. Oh, but we say Galatasaray in England. And when I went to Turkey, they told me off. So it's always stuck with me that that's how you say it.
And in America, they say Loughborough's Luga Boogera. So who's right, who's wrong? Don't give a shit.
Right. Very good. No more any other business?
Nah, done.
So Cardiff next Saturday, if I got that right. We're off to Sixers beforehand, which will be exciting to sample their pre-match meal deal or whatever it is.
I thought it was just me and you, Jack.
And hopefully Rick, if he can make it, if he's not in the caravan. But it might just be me and you. But we're as good of influencers as Jake is anyway. So
true.
So there we go. Right, we'll see you next week.
Podcast Network.